In Daniel chapter 2, we shall continue our second message. And tonight's devotion is entitled, Going Through Trials with God. Going Through Trials with God. And we want to read these verses in Daniel chapter 2. Going Through Trials with God is the title of our devotion. And we want to now look into this second chapter. You see that Daniel has kept himself pure and he kept himself close to God. This was the secret of Daniel's strength. He lived faithfully in a faithless world. God honored his faith and blessed his life. If we want to have a life that is blessed by God, look at Daniel's life. And as we learn how he lived his life, may God also give us the strength to live such a life. It was a worthy testimony to the glory of God's power in a believer's life. We left off the first chapter with this testimony in verse 20 of Daniel chapter 1. And in all matters of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, that is Daniel and his three friends, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in all his realm. You realize that Babylon was the superpower of that time, and all wisdom and all knowledge is accumulated there in Babylon. And you know that God has also given Daniel and his three friends surpassing wisdom. Proverbs 22:29 describe Daniel and his three friends. Seest thou a man diligent in his business? He shall stand before kings. He shall not stand before mean men. This proverb gives to us an observation. He tells us that blind ambition does not always lead to success in life. That there are many frustrated people, and many would pour their energy into their ambitions and they leave themselves little time to develop true godliness. But on the other hand, there are those, many examples of those who seem never to seek promotion and success, and yet they achieved it. Daniel was one such person. He was in the kingdom of the Chaldeans, the most important court in the known world at that time. And amongst him were many wise people, the wisest in the kingdom. And for him, he knew just one thing, that he need to keep close to his God, because his God is the one that is the giver of all things, the maker of all things, the sustainer of life. And he knew who is the one that is in order, or that orders all things. And so, as we think about Daniel's life, we see him having his priorities at the right place. The worthwhile pursuit for the Christian is to pursue godliness. When he seeks to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. This morning we were continuing our study of the book of Genesis, and we were looking at how God made men and how God instituted the first marriage. And we were saying how it is not good for men to be alone. You know, after God created everything in 6 days, He said that everything He created was very good. But there was one thing that was not good,
that man was without a companion. And why is it that that is not good?
We were discussing and we were analyzing. Then at the end of it, God made Eve. Right? And God instituted the first marriage.
So we were asking ourselves, why is it that God said it is not good that man is alone?
Well, we discussed and we said this, that, you know, man is a special being made in the image of God with intellectual, moral consciousness and with the ability to interact.
And he can't interact well,
or as it were,
in the same level with the lower life forms. And he alone, right, in this world, how could he glorify God fully?
And so we said that, you know, God instituted marriage for the purpose of procreation,
so that the human race may come about.
Just like, you know, last in Good Friday, we had the choir who sang.
Every one of the choristers gave a part of that choir. And every one of them gave a perspective of the notes. But together, they glorified God as a collective whole. And so, Daniel knew that his role, right, he's just one of those whom God has made to glorify him and to enjoy him. And this was what he was doing, enjoying his life with God. And that was what God was doing when he made Eve, so that together, Adam and Eve, they may form the first family. And as a family, they are able to enjoy and glorify God together. And that was his purpose in life. And Daniel pursued God with the whole heart. And Jesus put it this way: seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That was what, that is a summary of Daniel's life. And what else? It says, and all these things shall be added unto you. So as he sought God, God took care of him. God took care of the rest of his life. And what did he do? Well, he sought to enjoy the company of God. Daniel was diligent to seek after God. And that is what Paul gave as the definition for faith in Hebrews 11 verse 6. He says, but without faith it is impossible to please him. Please who? Please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Daniel was one who sought God with all his heart. And he saw the glory of God, as we saw in this, as we see in this passage, how God revealed to him wisdom that is unparalleled. Who would be able to tell the future? No one can, but only the Almighty God. And so when he was in communion with God, he was enjoying his company with God, God revealed these secrets to him. And so Daniel was brought before Nebuchadnezzar. And you know, Daniel's ministry is transcended human kingdoms. He, even after the Babylonian kingdom fell and the Medo-Persians took over, Daniel continued to serve in this new kingdom. And as you think of it, how is it that Daniel is able to continue to flourish and thrive in a hostile world? You will see that Daniel carried with him a conviction.
And he carried with him a courage to carry that conviction. He knew who it is that gives to him his very existence. And he knew that there is no other life outside this true life that God has given to him. As Peter would put it in John 6:68, he says, "Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life." Indeed, if we have God with us, we have everything. And without Him, we would have nothing. So for young Daniel, his life began with good success. And his life continued with good success. Isn't it so good to learn the secret of a life like that? He was, you know, as someone says, as a tree that is planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Why? Because he delighted. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Daniel knew that in Jehovah is hidden all the treasures of knowledge and wisdom. That's why he prays 3 times a day. He spent time in communion with God. He spends time in the Word of God, in the scriptures that he would have when they were deported from Babylon. Right? Those initial books of the Bible were already there. And so he was built up. His life was in order, and the steadfastness of his faith was clearly seen. He's someone, you may say, that is rooted, as Paul says, and built up and established in the faith. And one who is abounding with thanksgiving. That is Daniel's life for us. And that is a life that God wants us to have. Then, here in chapter 2, he will face with the challenge of living a righteous life. And you'll see many more examples of what this means to live faithfully in the subsequent chapters. So Daniel is a very exciting book, and many lessons, many pertinent things that we can learn. And so the scene opens before us in chapter 2, in the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar. Having been appointed unto the king's court as wise men, Daniel and his friends, together with the multitude of counselors and magicians, would serve in the kingdom of Babylon. And then what happened? God gave to the king Nebuchadnezzar a very disturbing dream that puzzled and troubled his heart. There was a message that God is trying to convey to him in this dream. And all the magicians and astrologers and sorcerers could not interpret the dream. And the king told them that he had forgotten the dream. And so it is up to them, you know, to interpret it. And he promises them rewards. And no one could do it. And so the king was furious. And the king gave a decree to kill all the wise men in his kingdom. And so the edict come to Daniel that his life is now in danger. What will he do? The situation was precarious for all the wise men of Babylon, and Daniel and his 3 friends were among those under the wrath of the king. How is it possible to interpret a dream when you do not have an idea what it is? It may be impossible with men, but not with God. All wisdom comes from Him. And so this was indeed a trial for Daniel and his friends. And we, in our life, face trials every day. A difficult problem comes your way, and you look at it, you say, "I have no solution at all to this problem." And what will you do when you are faced with challenges? verse 10. The Chaldeans answered before the king and said, "There is not a man upon the earth that can show the king's matter. Therefore, there is no king, lord, or ruler that asks such things." So they say it is an invalid question. You cannot ask that question. And it is a rare thing that the king requires, and there is none other that can show it before the king except the gods whose dwelling is not with flesh. And so that made the king very angry. For this cause, the king was angry and furious and commanded to destroy all the wise men of Babylon. They tell him that, you are the wise men, and yet, you know, I don't have an answer for you. For the Christian, it's easy to live a life when things are calm and good. But when we face the storms of life, and when the storms of life hit us with full force, what will you do? Today we are in the quiet of this sanctuary to discuss about encounters of life. How to encounter difficulties, trials of life. Daniel was in such a time, and their lives were threatened. What do you do? James wrote, a veteran shepherd, gave this advice for anyone who faced trials. He says, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all liberally and upbraideth not. He withholds not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways." And so, what did Daniel do? Well, as we look at the advice from James, this was exactly what Daniel did. To obtain wisdom, to endure trials joyfully, is to be able to understand that God is able. Then we go to Him in faith to meet our needs. There was one sister in the Bible college who received a phone call one morning, and it was bad news. You know, the son was trying to put decorations for Mooncake Festival. He was in the second floor of his college, and he fell from it. And so she received the call, and you know, he was rushed to the hospital, and she said, "I received the bad news. My husband is not around, daughter is not around. What do I do?" He said, "There and then I kneeled down and I prayed and I cried to God. This was what I did." And she said that, you know, God preserved my son. And that is what Daniel did too. The first thought that we have in verses 1 to 13 is imminent danger. What do you do when you are faced with imminent danger? Daniel and his friends looked to God. And that was something that is something that we must remember. Because when the crisis would hit us, the tendency for us is to lose hope, lose faith, lose sight of God, and go into depression, go into despair, and somehow lose touch with reality. But for Daniel, he was different. He had a vibrant prayer life. And here Daniel is teaching us the skill that enables us to live obediently before God in the midst of trials. That's a vibrant prayer life.
How to pray unceasingly?
You realize that when trouble comes to us and you don't have a solution to solve the problem, if you stop praying, you'll find that doubts will come and attack your mind. And you would lose the battle. And the only way to win is to keep close to God and keep praying. This was Daniel's experience. And you'll find that when we seek God, God is able to help us. And if for one moment we lose sight of Him, you'll find that, you know, you can be greatly discouraged and attacked, and doubts will come. So Daniel sought God in prayer. Verses 17 and 18 tells us. Then Daniel went to his house. He asked the captain of the Nebuchadnezzar's guard to give him a little bit of time. He sought the Lord. Then Daniel went to his house and his companions, that they would desire mercies of the God of heaven concerning this secret, that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. And so Daniel and his friends sought the Lord their God in prayer for his compassion upon them, that they should not perish with the wise men of Babylon. Instead of fretting and panicking for want of solution, they called upon the Lord in a prayer meeting. Remember the hymn, the chorus that says, "Only believe, only believe, all things are possible. Only believe, only believe, all things are possible. Only believe." What when the trial is very great, your faith must also proportionally increase. When the trials increase, your faith must be increased. And that's what we are speaking here. You may observe that Daniel and his friends are in a desperate predicament. And what will they do? They organize the prayer meeting. They knew that all wisdom and all power is with God. And you will notice that this is key to Daniel's life, and this is the key in Daniel's entire career, right? That he was truly a man of prayer. He knew the importance of believing prayer. And so these men were united to pray, to call upon the name of God. We all have read the biography of George Mueller. There was someone who gave me the autobiography of George Mueller. So it was a hardcover book, was printed, and as you read through his life, you'll find that, you know, his was a life of dependence upon God. He set up so many orphanages, and he looked to God all the time for his help, for his sustenance, and God glorified his name every time. And that is a kind of life that, you know, God would want us to live. Like a Daniel. And so these three of his friends came together and they gathered for this prayer meeting. The Lord Jesus told his disciples, "Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them." Matthew 18:20. And the Apostle Paul put it this way in 2 Corinthians 1:11.
Ye also helping together by prayer for us, that for the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons, thanks may be given by many on our behalf.
That is effectiveness in prayer. How the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And you say, how can I be righteous? I'm a sinner. But you realize also that Jesus Christ has washed you from all your sins. And when we have confessed our sins before God and make right before God, then we can come to Him and seek Him for His help. And will He not answer? Surely He will answer. That's what Jesus Himself said in Matthew 7, verse 11. Ask and it shall be given you, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Or what man is there whom he, if his son asks bread, will he give a stone? Or if he asks a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask Him? Ask, seek, and knock is the Christian's answer to life's perplexities. So I remember that when we began work, there was another brother who loves God. And so every Monday, we would gather together to pray. And we would list down the problems that we have, the difficulties that we have at the beginning of the week. And then we'll read a passage of devotion from Scripture, and then we'll pray. And the experience is this, that every time we pray, the big problems become small problem and no problem. Somehow God just gives the wisdom to solve each and every one of them. Do you have your prayer list every time you go to work? Or every time you are faced with troubles, do you write them down? And do you bring them before God? And do you keep a record of the answered prayers that God gives to you? If we do, you'll find that, you know, you'll be most surprised. For our family, when we have our own family prayer book, and over the years, where we would write down, you know, in our family prayer book, as we look back now, we see so many prayers answered. Answered. And that encourages us to go on praying. There are times when we are lax. We do not seek God. And we realize that, you know, then we are in trouble. But the times when we sought God, He was always there to help us. And so let us realize that we have a God who is compassionate, whose mercy does not fail. If we would seek Him, He would surely help us. And that was the experience of Daniel. Verse 19 says, then the secret was revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. This secret cannot be known, in the sense that, you know, none on earth know. Only God knows, because He is the one that gave the dream to Nebuchadnezzar. And Daniel was given that privilege to receive that wisdom. So God's answer to Daniel's prayer was very specific. God answered Daniel's prayer to the jot and tittle, you realize. So as you think of it, how God answered his prayer, you realize also that, you know, when we seek God, and we ask Him in faith, will He not help His children? Surely He would help. And so, what was the concern for Nebuchadnezzar? Well, the dream troubled him, and God gave to him, to Daniel, the interpretation of the dream. And Daniel was very careful not to give any inkling of an idea that the wisdom to answer all this came from him. From verses 24 to 49, you see how Daniel was careful to give all glory to God. He says in verse 28, but there is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets and maketh known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days. And so as we seek God, and as God reveals to us His wisdom, we need to realize that all this comes from Him. We must not usurp that wisdom, that glory. All glory must be to Him. And that was what Daniel did. And Daniel was given the wisdom to interpret. And we shall discuss a little bit more next, our next devotion, concerning that interpretation. Because the interpretation itself is a reality that we are still experiencing today. The mystery of the great image. May the Lord help us, and it suffice to us for tonight to know that if we are going through trials, go through your trials with God. When you are faced with imminent danger, remember to pray. Daniel prayed importunately. And what did God do? God gave him an answer. And what was his response? He gave all glory to God. May the Lord help us to see this secret of Daniel's strength, that we too may be able to live faithfully in this faithless world. Let us pray. Father, we want to thank Thee for Thy word that gives to us the truth concerning life and the mysteries of life. Oh Lord, we realize that we don't have the secret to the jigsaw puzzle of life, and by our own wisdom, somehow the jigsaw puzzle of life just would not fit together. But we realize that with Thee and with Thy infinite wisdom, the jigsaw puzzle of our life does come together beautifully. O Lord, may Thou help us to understand this truth. And we want to thank Thee for this gathering of Thy saints tonight to pray. O God, we want to thank Thee for granting us the understanding of our need of Thee, that we cannot exist without Thee. So Lord, may Thou grant to us Thy wisdom to walk with Thee and continue to develop and cultivate our prayer life. This I ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen.